Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Chad and Zay.
All right, hour number three on this Friday. Hope you got a great Memorial Day weekend planned. We will be off on Monday, back on Tuesday. Thanks to the bosses for that. We hope your bosses have done the same for you. Either way, hope you have a great time with friends and family over the weekend. Obviously, we've hit the big stories of the day. Eastern Conference Finals continue. Miami gets whacked around again. Two games in a row now. Boston has really woken up. So it's still 3-2 Miami tomorrow night. They'll have a chance to close the door. Also, the big NFL story of the day is DeAndre Hopkins on the market. He'll be released by the Arizona Cardinals today. They've got to hit dead money, about $22.6 million. They do save a little cap space there, but now we'll see. What is a team willing to pay DeAndre Hopkins? What's he willing to take at age 30 to join an NFL team? So we hit that story today as well. It's Chad and Zay. I'm Chad Hastings. He is Isaiah Collier, and he gets us a beat to start every third hour. What do you got, Zay?
Mr. Mad featuring Slim Thug and Young Star, H-Town song, down south where I stay, where falling, on the end on to the MLK, hey down boy, gonna swing and bang. It's a classic, man. Absolute classic.
Did you say Mr. May?
Mr. Mad.
Mr. Mad.
Yeah.
My bad. It's a great beat.
Oh, yeah, it's a jam.
That is awesome.
I just took y'all back.
That was very good. I'm assuming dead on. I have not heard the song, but I'm sure it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
I mean, I'm sure that
great
was.
Great song.
Perfect. All right. This is the week, after all, that I can now officially say that I've listened to the entire Illmatic album from Nas. We talked about that yesterday. Zay can now say he's seen The Last Boy Scout. And thankfully, our next guest did not ruin The Last Boy Scout for Zay, because Zay forgot the slight spoiler that our next guest threw in there. So everything is good. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe Cantina Hotline. He is Jeff Ketchum of OrangeBloods.com. What's up, Ketch?
I mentioned last week that there was a murder, but there's like 15 murders in that movie. So I think it was overstated, whatever spoiler that I would have, you know, slightly hinted towards.
Yeah, maybe. But just know that Zay enjoyed The Last Boy Scout so much he watched it twice. Just understand that. How great is that?
It's a great bad movie. Chad, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Before you ask me a question.
Yes, sir.
Tina Turner. If we're talking, because I know that you had a thing for Tina.
Absolutely.
Like, way, way past retirement age, she was still, like, top five for you.
Absolutely.
If we're talking about her best song, there's, like, an instinctive Proud Mary thing, but can you really pick Tina Turner's best song and include that woman-beating monster, Ike? Like, doesn't Proud Mary have to be second just out of principle?
That's interesting. I could agree with that kind of idea. If you say Proud Mary's during the Ike era, so you want to take that off to the side, I can understand.
And then I respect
like
that catch.
Ike,
yeah,
you know,
like I said, yeah. I said yesterday, my favorite, it may not be her best, my favorite is I Can't Stand the Rain. I've always been a big fan of that song. But yeah, if you want to go What's Love Got to Do with It, or, you know, or Simply the Best, or, you know, some of the other stuff that she did as a solo artist, Private Dancer or whatever, that might pay a little more tribute. I think Tina would appreciate that if you left Proud Mary to, you know, away from the number one spot.
F Ike.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
I had to get that out of my system. Yeah. Like, I wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah, no, we absolutely are. I've been thinking a lot about Tina the last couple of days, man. I'm it's
Yo, Yo, R.I.P. Catch. Yo, Catch, I feel you, man. I can't even look at Lawrence Fishburne the same, even as Morpheus and my man in Boys in the Hood, just because he played Ike Turner so well and What's Love Got to Do with It.
And I have never been able to look at Angela Bassett the same way again either, the same way.
That's fair.
In all the best ways, though. In a 180 from Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. That's one of the movies, and maybe it's the first time people learned it, but that's one thing you learn. When they cast Angela Bassett, you are never going to forget it.
Yeah.
Ever. I've watched Angela Bassett in movies that the movie might not be that great. The scene might not be. She's going to do everything she can to make you remember her.
Well, Stella got her groove back. Oddly, probably would have won awards if it was just called Stella Never Lost Her Groove. It's Angela Bassett. She never lost it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oddly, she aged the same way, or has aged the same way Tina Turner has.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. You're right.
It doesn't crack.
No, it does not. In fact, that second Black Panther movie, it's pretty good. I wouldn't call it great, but she got nominated for an Oscar, and I know the scene because when I was watching it, I thought, oh, good Lord, somebody might want to call the Oscar folks because Angela Bassett's still a badass.
Yeah.
And that was in a Wakanda movie.
Rest in peace, Tina Turner, though.
Yes, no doubt. Absolutely.
I couldn't do a segment with you without you and I have spent so much time in our lives talking about Tina Turner together that it would have been in poor taste not to acknowledge it from the beginning.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yes, the queen of rock and roll will live on forever. Crazy story this week and 83 incredible years for Miss Tina. All right, so, Ketch, there's a couple things we could get into with you. We want to get into this NFL, kind of a side NFL discussion, but real quick on this Texas baseball team, and then we'll move on because, man, that was some ugly on ugly in Arlington. Clearly they don't like playing in that stadium, in the new place. They need to get some rest. They need to get healthy. What kind of regional do you think they're going to get handed here? I'm assuming they don't get to host now. Where do you think they get sent?
It seems like the committee likes to send them out west. I think there's been some projections to be the number two in the Stanford regional. It would make a lot of sense, I think. Texas fans are kind of sticking their chests out about a week ago about hosting a regional. I think everybody understands what's what. So, you know, I think as long as you don't get sent to an SEC regional, I think you're in pretty good shape. I think you have a chance. You know, you don't want to go to Fayetteville. You don't want to go, I think, to some of the teams that out there that have proven week in and week out that they're probably among the very elite teams in the country. If Texas gets the Stanford regional, what's really interesting about that is that maybe it also decides the Director's Cup, because there's a certain amount of points that a team that makes a super regional gets versus a team that's only in a regional, and it looks like that thing's going to come down to the very wire. What happens this weekend in softball matters. Stanford beating Duke. I didn't see the final score, but like 3-1 in the sixth inning earlier today, and Texas obviously plays Tennessee in the next hour or so. You know, so watching a lot of different things, but it would make sense, I think, to see them sent out to Stanford. And those two teams have played each other a lot over the years. So from a historical standpoint, it'd make for a fun weekend of baseball if Texas brings its non-Arlington game out to Palo Alto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, can you speak on that non-Arlington game? But against Kansas and Kansas State, there was against Kansas the grand slam, but then Kansas State, you give up 5 runs in the 7th inning. What did you notice in those two games in the Big 12 tournament that you didn't see against West Virginia when they swept them?
That Texas sucked.
Oh, my gosh.
One weekend, they're bashing the brains out of West Virginia, and the next weekend, it was the opposite. You know, the thing is that this team, you think, has the bats to hang with anybody. I think it was really surprising that against, you know, not the best teams in the Big 12, that they couldn't find. You know, if they lose 9-8 in any of those two games, I think a Texas fan shrugs his shoulders and says, well, we've seen that before, the bullpen, this and that, and not enough pitching, and late innings, and all of those things. to not be able to manufacture offense was the surprising thing. And look, if they go into regional play and they can't find that, then they might go 2-Q in the regional. They have to swing the bats well to survive. They got good starting pitching in Arlington. This team has to play well, and they just didn't. And even in the Big 12 tournament, when you're not playing the best teams in the Big 12, if you don't play well, you don't win. That may sound really easy, but sometimes it's like as simple as that. Like, they just didn't play well enough to win. They get a chance to. You know what the good news is? Now they can regroup. That will be a focused baseball team when they go to the regionals. And I think whatever team is hosting a regional and gets Texas, they'll probably feel like, God, couldn't we have gotten an easier number two in our regional? Because Texas is a couple of bad games away, I think, from being a one seed. So they're going to be one of the tougher number two seeds, I think, in the tournament. And they're good enough on any given weekend to beat anybody and to win a series. But we saw this week, and I think maybe this team needed to be reminded of that. Man, if you half step at all, this thing can end pretty quickly, and that's not what anybody wants.
Talking with Jeff Ketchum, OrangeBloods.com. All right, Ketch, I wanted to get your NFL thoughts on this. Zay brought up earlier, we've been looking at some ChatGPT stuff out of the NFL. Somebody put in the search of the best defensive players of all time. I'm going to give you the top five. Tell me if you have any arguments. Their top five spit out from 5-1, Ronnie Lott, Dion, Butkus, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. Do you have any arguments?
Not really. I mean, Lawrence Taylor for me is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Dion has to be on the list. I don't know. Butkus in the top five, I'm not going to argue against it, but I don't know that he would instinctively have been in my top five. Am I picking Dick Butkus over Ray Lewis? I don't know.
Yeah, Ray Lewis was six.
Reggie White? What's that?
Ray Lewis was six.
Yeah, seven, I think.
Seven, excuse me.
Ray was seven.
And then, when I think of Reggie White, I think of Eric Williams just beating the crap out of him. So,
yes, you do.
There's a part of me that it's like, well, if Reggie White's the second best defensive player of all time, is Eric Williams just the greatest football player of all time?
Oh, my God. Oh, Ketch, you're making a lot of Cowboy fans happy, because that day was so good for so many reasons, but Reggie White's inactiveness, Reggie White's, like, no stats in that game is one of the great parts of that game.
I mean, and he did it to Reggie White. Once Eric Williams figured out that he could just beat the ever-living crap out of Reggie White, that thing never changed again. It was,
yep.
There's a lot of thought that he chased Reggie White out of Philadelphia so that he wouldn't have to play his ass twice a season. Eric Williams is just awesome. Reggie White's a phenomenal player. I don't have a whole lot of problem with that top five.
Yeah, that was an interesting discussion. I threw out Mike Singletary's name, who didn't make the top 10. The rest of the top 10, by the way, was Mean Joe, Ray Lewis, Jack Lambert, Bruce Smith, and Rod Woodson. The only other name I had jotted down was Singletary that wasn't in there, and was trying to make kind of an argument for that. We've had a couple other people texting us names, but some badass names there. So you're good with Ronnie Lott all the way up in the top five. I just had a question there. Like, I know Ronnie Lott was an absolute badass. Is he top five badass for you?
I mean, he's got like half a finger that says so.
Yeah, I know. He does. You're right. Yeah.
And he's got all the rings. Like, I had this conversation all week long with fans everywhere. We're talking about best running back of all time. And, the resume matters, and rings matter, and playing your best football in the biggest games of your life matter. When we talk about Vince Young is the best college quarterback that we've ever seen, it's not because, like, he played great against lesser teams. It's that when the money was on the table, he performed in ways that mere mortals didn't. I think Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver of all time because he's got the numbers, he's got the rings, and he's got the big game performances. Most of what I like about that top five is that it's full players who, other than Butkus, who just was on a dormant team for his entire career, no offense, Bears fans, most of those guys, I think, are renowned winners. And I always tend to give the tiebreaker to guys that play at the highest level in the biggest games, and they've got stats, rings, and big game performances. And those guys certainly had that. Deion certainly has that. Lawrence Taylor certainly has that. And even Reggie White certainly has that. So, no issues with that.
That's a good point.
So I'm guessing you don't agree with ESPN's list on having Baker Mayfield the number one quarterback since 2000.
Baker Mayfield, at his absolute best, was never better than Vince Young a day in his life.
Yeah, that was an interesting list. Baker at one, then Cam, Vince, and Tim Tebow, that top four. We've been trying to...
And the thing about Cam plays in a national championship game against a pretty... with all due respect to Oregon, they were not a great team playing in a national championship game. And Cam was very average in that national championship game. Vince Young, in the biggest games, wore a cape and was a superhero that could have been in the Avengers movies. That ain't Baker Mayfield. That's not Cam Newton. There are very few players in the history of college football that you would say, cast that guy as a superhero in an Avengers movie. Vince Young is one of them. These other dudes are mere mortals.
Well said.
Yeah, like that one. Jeff Ketchum, orangebloods.com. If you want to catch him on Twitter, at GKKetch. And again, come Monday, we'll find out about the Longhorn baseball team and where they end up in a regional. Like Ketch said, there are some projections having them head out west. That Texas-Stanford thing might be a little too much for a committee to resist. Ketch, we always appreciate the time, brother. Have yourself a great Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Absolutely, fellas. Have a great one. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ketch.
Good stuff there. Thoughts on the defensive side of things. And, it's a good way to phrase it with Vince. We talked about the resume part with Cam. If you wanted to say the Heisman gives Cam Newton that edge, yes. But if you ask me about eyeballs, I'd put Vince over Cam.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just the eyeballs of it. And then, like we talked about the other day, I'd go Tebow resume over Baker resume. But we didn't discuss this back and forth. I would go Vince over Cam if you're talking about just the freakishness of what each of them did. But you're asking me, if I've got one drive and I don't know what else is going on, who do I want? I want Vince taking those snaps more than I want Cam.
Yeah, there was a time where Cam Newton was stealing computers in college.
Yes.
Vince Young was doing none of that. He was winning Rose Bowls, multiple Rose Bowls.
So you're arguing for fast hands, just not as fast as Vince is on the field.
Yes.
He had fast hands off the field.
Off the field.
That's what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's a great point that Ketch made when you break everything down. The team Cam beat for a title versus the team Vince beat for a title. Now, that is a great way to break that tie.
Not even close.
If you believe it's a tie, that is an excellent way to break it. Because nobody spent a month and a half saying that Oregon team was the greatest of all time.
No.
Nobody did that.
No.
And that's a team going for, technically, three in a row.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people who would argue Cam would say Vince Young might have had one of the greatest rosters surrounding him of all time. When it comes to teams that win a national championship with all the guys.
That Cam did a little more carrying.
Yeah, a little bit more carrying while the Horns had Jamal Charles as their number three running back.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, just saying. The team was really good.
Yeah, but you can't watch that championship. Yeah, again, that's another good comparison. I think Ketch made it well. Go watch those two championship games. Tell me who's the guy that's carrying his team more.
Oh, VY. Not even close.
Yeah. That's interesting. That was earlier in the week. The top quarterbacks since 2000. Top 75, if you want to go check that list out and get some conversation started. You can definitely do it that way. Up next, Why Today Matters, May the 26th, looking into a long weekend. We got some big birthdays in the world of music to talk about, plus a couple other things for you. Stay with us when we're done. It is Ball Don't Lie with Rod and Harge one more time this week. Hope you're having a great lead-in to your Memorial Day weekend. Keep it right here all weekend long on The Horn.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chad and Zay.
Oh, mercy, mercy. All right, hope you're having a good Friday. Big, big weekend coming. Big weekend coming up, Zay, for all the good people out there. What is this song called? Is it called From the Window to the Walls, or what's it called?
No, Get Low.
Get Low is the name of this song. Oh, my God. I would guess who this is, but I'm going to get it drastically wrong. I don't want that feeling going into the weekend.
No, you got it.
No, I don't. Tell me who it is.
Lil Jon.
Nope, that wasn't what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
I'm not telling you.
You have to say
no,
it.
No, I know. I was not going to say that, though. I'm glad I didn't guess.
Lil Jon, Yin Yang Twins, Get Low.
Okay.
It's a club classic. A lot of women have twerked to this.
It's such a great little hook.
Yeah.
That little bang. Well, man, that's just unforgettable. Unforgettable stuff. Lil Jon, Gloria Estefan, Jackson Brown, 38 Special, Wang Chung have all been a part of the show. The Mr. Mad Beat to get us started. You said that's Houston related, yes?
Yes, H-Town.
Out of H-Town earlier in the show. We hope you're having a good Friday. Long weekend coming for a lot of folks, and we are among them. We don't have a show on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. We appreciate the bosses for that. Unfortunately, no Texas baseball this weekend, but Monday, remember, we will know the selection show. What happens then, we'll know what the regionals are. Coming up here about 3 o'clock is when Texas softball gets cranked up in Tennessee, trying to get through the super regionals. They play at 3 today. They play at 2 tomorrow. Those will be on 105.3 The Bat. If they need to play Sunday, still don't know exactly what time that'll be. That'll be, you know, with all the TV networks and how the rest of the bracket rolls. So you can keep track of that. Over there, obviously, check out hornfm.com for all the stuff over the weekend. And Monday would also be the selection show, if you will, the bracket set for the Women's College World Series if Texas gets by Tennessee. So Monday will be a big day for all of that.
Show them who the real UT is, ladies.
There it is. A lot of orange. A lot of orange. If you're an Aggie, you probably shouldn't go to Knoxville this weekend. That's not going to be your place.
Yeah.
A lot of U's. A lot of T's. They're all capitalized and orange everywhere.
Mm.
Just hell for an Aggie this weekend.
Yeah, y'all already don't know how to act right, so.
How dare you?
Be careful.
How dare you? Were they worse than those Texas State baseball fans earlier in the year?
I don't think so. I don't think they were fighting people.
That's the
or trashing cars and stuff.
It's sad that that's the bar right now. But, hey, what are you going to do? All right, so let's get into a little Why Today Matters. We'll hit a little NBA and some NFL. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, so DeAndre Hopkins has been released by Arizona. According to the information I'm looking at here, Arizona saves $8.15 million in cap space, but they have to eat a dead cap hit of $22.6 million. $1 million. So, Zay, I'm looking at a list of highest paid wide receivers for 2023. Tyreek Hill sits on top at $30 million. Good Lord. $30 million a year for a receiver. That's got to make Jerry Rice mad. Anyway, Davante Adams, $28 million is second, and DeAndre Hopkins was basically sitting at third at $27.3 million. So he's been released. 30-year-old DeAndre Hopkins. What's reasonable here? What's fair? Because if you get him all the way down to around $20 million, that's like back into the top 10.
DJ, that's still hefty.
DJ Moore makes $20.6 million this year. That's 10.
See, and this is where the pride comes in. When you see names like that, DeAndre Hopkins is going to say, I know I should make way more than guys like DJ Moore who don't have any skins on the wall in the National Football League.
I tell you what, let's play that game. Okay. Is he better than? Well, let's leave Hill and Adams out of it because they're number one and two. Mm-hmm. Okay, below him.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, like 1,800 yards this season.
Right. Is DeAndre Hopkins better than Cooper Kupp?
No.
He's number four. A.J. Brown?
No.
Stephon Diggs?
No.
D.K. Metcalf?
Yes.
Okay. Debo?
No.
I agree. Terry McLaurin?
Yes.
Yeah. And then D.J. Moore's 10.
Yeah.
So, better than a couple of those guys. So, that comment we read earlier from Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram of maybe the discussion could be had for around $20 million, are the Cowboys or another team willing to go to that neighborhood? Like, would he say no to 15? Would he think about 18? And would he definitely say yes to 20? Is that kind of the discussion?
I mean,
for Hopkins?
He would say yes to 20, but all those quarterbacks that he wants to play with, he's going to have to take less money because they already have deep rosters where they have to pay a lot more other guys who weren't even looking at DeAndre Hopkins before today. It wasn't like people were seeking out wide receivers still. It's just he became available, and obviously somebody as good as him, that will help any team, but they're going to have to find a medium. Because DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to have to swallow a lot of pride if he wants to play with a Super Bowl contender.
If one of these five, if you missed it earlier, he listed five quarterbacks he'd play for. One of them was Josh Allen. Imagine him and Diggs on the same team.
Yeah, with Gabe Davis, Dalton Kincaid, who they just drafted.
Good Lord. He mentioned Hurts. Imagine him and A.J. Brown and the cat from Bama.
Devontae Smith.
Oh, my God.
Swift.
He mentioned Mahomes. Him and Kelsey, and is Juju still there?
No, he's gone. Juju's in New England. They still have
Hardman.
Yeah, no, he's gone too.
No, he's gone too.
They still have Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Isaiah Pacheco.
They
could really use him.
Maybe they could.
They could use him.
Maybe that's it.
It's Patrick Mahomes, you know, but
yeah,
why not?
He mentioned Lamar Jackson, so imagine that group they've got. Odell Beckham Jr. with him. Mark Andrews, the youngster from Boston College, Zay Flowers.
Yep.
Plus, who's the guy in the middle? Aguilar.
Aguilar, Devin Duvernay.
Duvernay's still there, right?
That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, that would help him really fill in, and he could absolutely feel like he might still be a one with that group.
Yeah.
The other one is Justin Herbert. Imagine him and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and that crew. And is it still – who's that tight end out there? That's not still Hunter Henry, is it?
No.
He's moved on.
Oh, God.
They got a decent one, don't
single,
they?
Yes, he has a single-digit Ingram maybe. I don't know. Y'all
Melvin Ingram. Did Melvin go out there from the Giants? Or did – am I thinking? Evan Ingram.
Yeah, that might be it.
Evan Ingram?
That might be it. I don't know for sure.
Is he out there now? I always liked Evan Ingram, the cat from Ole Miss.
So somebody just said the Patriots, and the first thing I thought about was
– No, Evan's Jacksonville. My bad.
So the first person I thought about with the Patriots was Bill Belichick and DeAndre Hopkins not necessarily being a Patriots guy, but this was a team that brought Randy Moss – on the squad once upon a time. And remember Randy Moss and all his shenanigans in Minnesota and then the couple of down years, even though he had 1,000-yard seasons in Oakland. And then when he got to New England, it worked. But Tom Brady was there. Tom Brady, Mac Jones, two completely different quarterbacks. So it's a different situation. But, hey, if the Pats want to, you know, deal with that and Bill Belichick is cool with that and – you're going to have an angry DeAndre Hopkins when he's not getting the ball. Like we saw in Hard Knocks this season, him go to the sideline and him just basically bitch out Kyler Murray and they go back and forth like, bro, what's going on? And Kyler Murray's like, dude, I'm looking for you. Get off my back. You're going to have those moments with DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care if he's in a Patriots uniform or not. So if you're willing to deal with that, bring him on.
Yeah.
But DeAndre Hopkins, it's not like he's the easiest guy to deal with.
That's fair. That's fair to bring up. Now, I'm checking a depth chart here for the Chargers. Gerald Everett, pretty good tight end, but I guess they don't have a badass tight end right now. Somebody reminded us on the text line, though, Quentin Johnston from TCU, they did draft him.
Ah, okay.
That's
they're not wasting their time.
Adding to that wide receiver group.
He's on that rookie deal. They're not going to waste their time.
That might not be the fit for DeAndre Hopkins. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Also, over the weekend, we are going to get maybe the end of the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Zay, now that we're to this point, I'm going to tell you Miami wins tomorrow night because it will officially make my prediction correct. I pick Miami in six, so we're right here to Miami in six. I'm not going away from it. But you are the one that said you felt that Celtics thing when it started to turn. Do you think it's going to completely turn?
Yeah, and this is Miami's best chance to do it. The fact that Gabe Vincent is out kills them. It kills them. I would, if I'm Eric Spoelstra, I'd really consider benching Kyle Lowry and starting maybe Duncan Robinson and telling Jimmy Butler, hey, you're going to be the point guard tonight. You're going to be the point guard. You're going to be making all the decisions, creating for guys, and be prepared to play the full 48 because that's what it might take to not go back to being town.
Right.
And I said the Celtics in seven, and I'm going to stick with that. I think the Celtics found something.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, when you play a team multiple times over and over again, it's like having a team in your division in football. You just become used to it. And kind of used to how guys operate and how they move. The Celtics have become used to how Jimmy Butler likes to score and what he likes to do. He likes to get you in the paint, and he'll throw around multiple pump fakes, and everybody's been biting on it from the first two series. From Jrue Holiday and the Milwaukee Bucks biting on it, from the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, and those guys, they were biting on it, and then the Celtics were the first three games. They have stopped everybody. Everybody's been very disciplined and staying with Jimmy Butler, not allowing him to draw fouls and get to the line because he's been averaging 10 free throws a game. These last two games, he hasn't gotten up to 10. Maybe in game four he might have, but it took, 21 shots to get that 29 points. And then Bam Adebayo's really been struggling. Shout out to Al Horford. I've been giving Al Horford hell when we talk about him. He has not been good, especially shooting the ball. These last two games, game four and five, he's been really good defensively. So has Robert Williams. And then you got to give Joe Mazzulla credit for all the crap that he's been taking. Oh, he's not M.A. Udoka. He's the reason why they've been losing. He's the reason why they've been inconsistent. These last two games, they found something. I think they're going to take that momentum into Miami. I think those guys, Marcus Smart and Derek White, have found their shooting stroke. And if you get Jaylen Brown still being aggressive where he could give you something, even if it's 16 points or something along with those three-point shooters, because we found out with Malcolm Brogdon, he has that torn tendon in his elbow. So he's done.
That does explain what's been going on.
It makes so much more sense.
Yep.
Yeah, he's done. You can't really play him anymore. And remember, Joe Mazzulla didn't play Grant Williams in game one. I think that might come back to haunt them if Miami ends up winning the series because Grant Williams has been great the rest of the series. From when he got into it with Jimmy Butler and they were locking heads and stuff. Everybody blames him for that. He was the only one that brought life to that Boston Celtics team. And he's kind of given them life for multiple games, knocking down shots, guarding Jimmy Butler in different situations, guarding Bam Adebayo, Kevin Love. The defense has been great for the Celtics, and I think they're going to get this game. I think they're going to get this game and go back to Beantown for a game seven.
27 minutes for Williams in that last game. Game six will be tomorrow night, 7:30 on TNT. Maybe a little more on that. Also, this DeAndre Hopkins story, a big story today. We'll get you stems and seeds, and then we'll get you off the ball, don't lie, with Rod and Harge. A little bit more going today. Get you off to ball, don't lie. And then remember, by Monday, we will know the regional setup for Texas baseball. So you just keep it right here. So, we'll let you know.
Did you see the Ball Don't Lie crew with the when they were over, with the gamblers rocking their cowboy hats and stuff, Mike and Ron.
I did not see the cowboy hat versions.
They look smooth.
I can imagine they look good.
They look smooth.
Dude, I've never seen Harge wear a hat that I thought looked dumb on him.
Yeah.
He wears hats well.
Now, even though they look smooth, they did look like a ghetto version of Brokeback Mountain, but it worked. It worked. That's the first thing I thought of, and, you know, my mind just out of control. But they were smooth.
Okay.
Rod, you pulled off the cowboy hat very well. Harge, you did too. Just, you know, it looked like a 2B version of Brokeback. That's all. It's okay, though. They rocked it.
Okay.
They pulled it off.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You think those two could act as well as Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal if they needed to?
Man, I don't know.
That was a high-level performance for those two.
It really was.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds, and then we'll be done on the horn.
Chad and Zay.
I got a big stash, pocket full of cash, just seen a big old...
He's got a big what? What happened? Almost done with a Friday. Long weekend on the way. No, I didn't hear much of it, but it kind of... Now, there's two voices going on. Did that first voice... Was that first voice Ludacris?
There we go.
Okay.
This is your boy. You'll be seeing them again this weekend. Which is an absolute joke, but hey.
Yeah, that's right. I am going to see Fast 10 again. How dare you? It was that good. It was that good. We could go over the list of the movies I've seen twice in the theater, but it will not make me look very good. I don't think there's a lot on the Oscar list that I've done that for. I'm just going to tell you. One that immediately comes to mind is Dumb and Dumber. Let's just say.
Oh, man.
That's the level of movie I will go see twice in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be checking out Ludacris and Dom and the crew. Tyrese and everybody. Everybody's looking good in this movie. I mean, looking real good. Charlize Theron looks incredible.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Michelle Rodriguez is always looking good. Her hair looks really nice in this one. And they've even got Rita Moreno plays his mom.
Huh.
I don't think we've ever even dealt with Dominic Toretto's mother. She shows up. You know, Rita Moreno is 90.
Wow.
And she still looks incredible for 90. They have a nice little moment. Spoiler alert, he hugs Rita Moreno in the movie because it's his mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fantastic.
And she knows once he leaves that door, there's a huge possibility that he could die, but probably not.
Because he tries to solve every problem by driving through it. Yes, exactly. That's what Dominic Toretto does. All right, just about done on this Friday. It is so weird not to be talking about the setup with Longhorn Baseball. I can only imagine what you're feeling as Longhorn Baseball fans. You're supposed to be playing right now. Craig Way's supposed to be doing stuff right now. Zay, he looked like a lost dog earlier as he was walking out of here. Because he told me, hey, this is the first time I can remember, other than a vacation, first time I can remember in forever having three straight days I could sleep in.
Wow.
It's just freaking him out.
Yeah.
Craig is the ultimate, he's got to be doing something guy.
Yeah.
He does not, if he's going to sit around and do nothing, he needs to schedule sitting around and doing nothing. So he's going to try to find something to do.
Yeah, Craig, rest that voice, man.
I want you got to wonder if the wife's got a list this weekend. Wife, kids, family members, everybody that knows Craig is like, all right. Let's see.
You don't have many free weeks.
Craig told me.
Free days.
Craig said he was going to meet for lunch sometime. Let's make it now. We hope Craig has a great weekend. We hope all of you do as well. And remember, Texas baseball on Monday, we find out where they'll be sent for a regional. Probably put Palo Alto kind of on top of that list. It looks like there will be no hosting for Texas, obviously, with the regional. Maybe Stanford, maybe somewhere else. And let's see if anybody other than Dallas Baptist gets in from the state of Texas. And not that many Big 12 schools. I think Oklahoma State might get to host. But outside of that, not sure how many Big 12 schools are going to get to host either. We'll see what that bracket looks like when we get back on Tuesday. It will be announced on Monday. Also, softball just about to get cranked up against Tennessee. 3 o'clock today, scheduled time. 2 o'clock tomorrow, Sunday, to be announced if they need it for an if-necessary game. All right, let's get you stems and seeds before we get out of here.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Zay, after these two wins for Boston, do you think it's finally time for Eric Spoelstra to listen to the fans, break the glass, and pull the pin? Is it time to start Udonis Haslam? Your thoughts?
Oh, hell no.
No?
No.
8 minutes?
Absolutely not. Udonis Haslam shouldn't ever play. He should have been out the league 5 years ago.
5 quick minutes just to make Al Horford laugh.
The fact that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra are keeping him on the roster, and somebody out there that's playing overseas, that's grinding, deserves to be on the NBA roster, and Udonis Haslam is mucking that up for him, really grinds my gears. I don't like that one bit. I can't stand. All he does is yell and get mad and give motivational speeches that, so maybe they work, maybe they don't, but the whole vet thing is really overrated, especially for somebody like him. You got to be an Al Horford or a Kevin Love vet where you actually play and you're old too. He's just old and not playing.
42 for you.
Become a coach. No. Make up a coaching spot for him. And he doesn't have to be on the roster.
And why does he wear a hood all the time? What is going on with that?
I don't get that either.
It's a strange look.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
It's hot in those gyms. Mm-hmm. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Dude, take that hood down.
You can't say you're trying to stay warm because you're going to go in soon. It can't be that take. So what is it? Why does he wear that hood? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Nowadays, I understand a lot of the young folks like wearing the hoods. I see that when I'm picking my daughter up from school or whatever. A lot of kids, even in hot weather, they like wearing the hoods.
They do.
He's 42.
I don't know.
Come on, you. What are we doing? Every time I see him on the bench, I think about you. I'm like, what happens? What would Zay do if they put Haslam in right now?
Pat Riley is the GOAT of all GOATs, from being a GM to a coach, and he was a decent player. This is the worst move he's ever done in NBA history, keeping Udonis Haslam on the end of the bench.
Woo! Tomorrow night, 7:30 on TNT is game 6 of that series. Stars stayed alive last night, so they'll try to keep it going this weekend and not have Vegas get to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll be back on Tuesday. We may have an NBA Finals and a Stanley Cup Finals set by that time. Everybody have a great long weekend. Again, thoughts always going out to those men and women who paid the ultimate price. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Have a great time with your friends and family. Stay safe. We'll be back on Tuesday. Keep it right here on the Horn. See ya!